Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Our guest today is Matt Moore, author of maybe one of my favorite cookbook titles this year, The South's Best Butts, Pitmaster Secrets for Southern Barbecue Perfection. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Spice Islands. Spice Islands has a craft approach when it comes to spices, and you can taste the difference in every bottle. They still sun-dry many of their spices, and their chili peppers are hand-destemmed. Plus, they capture the volatile oil, which gives flavor to each spice, whether it be Saigon cinnamon, dill weed, bay leaves, garlic powder, cumin, or turmeric, and maintain a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes, and pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers. Bacon's gotten a lot of attention for the last, what feels like, 100 years, but one of the things that I love about this book is it really celebrates the pig beyond bacon. Talk a little bit about what the pig means to Southern barbecue and how it became such a central part of the book you wanted to write.
Well, I mean, the pig has long been a storied part of Southern foodways and cuisine. It was originally brought over, and most people would say, in the 1400s by DeSoto in Florida, mainly because it could survive long voyages at sea. And then once it was here, it took a whole lot less energy than domesticated cattle or chicken or anything along those lines. So, and then obviously barbecue has just carried on a grand tradition in the South. And for me, I think what was really important in this book was to focus on one of my favorite cuts, which is the pork butt, which is actually derived from the shoulder of the animal. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee today on a hot July day, so this is where I live. And I always say that in the band of Barbecue Brothers, ribs are always like the lead singer in the band. People love ribs, but at the end of the day, just like a lead singer, they're pretty finicky to cook and to prepare. I think Texas brisket has taken on a whole lot of attention lately. It's kind of like the lead guitarist. But I wanted to pay homage to the drummer, the bass player, which is the pork butt. It's humble, it's keeping everybody in time, and it's super versatile. And we use that as a window to get pitmaster secrets and recipes as we went throughout our 12-state travels in the barbecue belt.
You interviewed so many different Southern pitmasters for this book. What were some of the more surprising stories or best pieces of wisdom that you heard?
You know, it was so organic how I went about the process. And I think everybody's got a story to tell. A lot of them just don't think that they do. You know, one of my favorites was in Goldsboro, North Carolina, a gentleman by the name of Wilbur Shirley, who's been cooking for about 65 years. He survived cancer. He's a Korean War veteran, and he's employed just countless hundreds of folks in his community. And the story goes that, you know, kids would work for Wilbur in college. They go out and do a career, and they just couldn't wait to go back to work for Mr. Wilbur. And, you know, and he has blessed so many people. One of my favorite lines in the book was I asked him, you know, what's his secret to life? And he said that it was all the other people that had actually blessed him. We were just back down in one of my favorites, Heirloom Barbecue in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a husband and wife cooking together, but the wife actually is as big as Britney Spears in South Korea. She's the first K-pop star in South Korea who left, you know, fame and fortune and moved to Atlanta and became a formerly trained chef, and now she's cooking barbecue. So there's a lot of different nuggets and stories that we came across that are much behind the smoke once you actually sit down with these folks and learn a little bit more about who they are and where they came from.
Barbecue can be sort of a mysterious world for beginners, full of confusing jargon. So I'd like you to lay out a little bit of the information that's in the first part of the book, which is really just breaking down kind of what makes up barbecue, those different components. First, what's the difference between barbecue and grilling? And then what are the different kinds of grills and charcoal and sort of decisions that a home barbecuer needs to make before they start doing this at home?
Well, I'll throw my wife under the bus here. She's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'll never forget the first summer that we went and visited her family. She told me that we were going to go to their neighbor's house for a big barbecue. Being a Southerner, I expected large hunks of meat cooked over indirect heat for long periods of time, and I showed up, and hey, though I love Miller Lite and cheese and bratwurst, they were having a cookout or they were grilling out. They certainly weren't making barbecue. So I think most pitmasters will tell you that the term traces its name from barbacoa, which is indirect cooking, typically large or whole animal, over coals. And the idea is that slowly, as the meat gives up its moisture and fat, it drips on the coals, allowing it to be perfumed with that great smoke flavor. So I think that's what most folks are saying. And you know, grilling is the idea of cooking by direct heat. Barbecue is going to be a little bit more low and slow over indirect, whether it's a vertical or horizontal separation. You know, when you talk about different grills, this was a book that I wanted not to be snobby. You can cook great barbecue on a $50 kettle grill. You can cook great barbecue by digging a pit in your backyard, or you can cook great barbecue on a $3,000 Big Green Egg. It's more about maintaining proper temperature over a set period of time than anything else. The old school folks will tell you that using natural wood and burning it down to embers is the most traditional way. Other purists would tell you that only lump charcoal and no briquettes. And some people might be snooty about using gas as a potential source. We came across every variation in all of our travels, from actual wood to charcoal to briquettes to using hybrid methods with gas. At the end of the day, the food was all fantastic. So, you know, how you get those results, I wasn't one to be snobby about the methods. I just wanted to document what people were doing and the results that they were getting.
Just a reminder that support for today's show comes from Spice Islands. Spice Islands takes a craft approach with their premium spices to capture the most flavor in each spice, a difference you can taste in every bottle. They take the extra steps to ensure richer flavors, like waiting for their dill weed to bloom before harvesting, or milling their garlic to a true powder so it doesn't add grittiness to your dishes. Better yet, they maintain a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. When you use premium spices, the flavors are richer, which makes a noticeable difference in your recipes. So whether you're looking for flavor adventure or simply better tasting meals, fill your pantry with Spice Islands. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes, including one for spiced maple carrots, a quick, simple side to complement any meal. That's spiceislands.com/clever, and pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers. And this book isn't all meat. There are some great vegetable dishes, too. So tell us a little bit about the sides and the desserts and the parts of this book that sort of provide all the things that go on the plate along with a great piece of meat that make a barbecue meal.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in the South. So if you come over for a Southern supper, I always say that the table should run the mighty length of the Mississippi. So you can't just have, you know, a pulled pork or a brisket or wings or smoked chicken. We wanted to round it out with very traditional, but also some, you know, fun and unique sides. So you mentioned bacon earlier with you. Bacon and bourbon, two very traditional ingredients that we marry together with collard greens. Fresh picked cream corn. Right now we're yielding great corn down south. It's super sweet. Another great side dish. You know, a pimento mac and cheese, a burn-in mac and cheese, and then, as you mentioned, you know, rounding it out with some desserts like a Tennessee whiskey caramel pie. So at the end of the day, we want you to leave our homes happy and full and get a lot of variation from, you know, the bounty of produce that we have here in the South, along with the great barbecue as well.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions about barbecue or the biggest takeaways that you want people to go forth with, maybe clearing up some of those assumptions that we have in the North and in the Midwest about what barbecue is, or just things that you'd love people to know about the cuisine?
You know, my biggest fear when we went out and we like I said, we wanted to use the pork butt as a medium to tell stories and get recipes for rubs and how their smoking technique took place. The fear was that everybody was treating the cut in much of the same way. You know, cooking the whole butt, cooking it low and slow. And when I say that, probably typically anything below 300 degrees for around an hour a pound. And these things come in at 8 to 12 pounds. I found so much variance on how people treated this. So one gentleman, Skip Steele in St. Louis, cooked his at 20 hours at 200 degrees. So the epitome of low and slow. In Arkansas, we came across Big Butts Barbecue, where they actually broke the piece down into an inch and a quarter steaks, so they're creating more surface area, and they cooked it pretty hot and fast, around 350 degrees, and that pork butt steak was made in just a couple hours. Kind of the same concept at Burn Company Barbecue in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, I was always told in college that nothing good happened after 2 o'clock in the morning. And in the barbecue world, most pit masters and purists and snobs will tell you that nothing good happens over 300 degrees. Hey, at Burn Company Barbecue, they take a butt, they cut it into about four different pieces, so about 3 to 4 pound hunks, and they cook it at 350 degrees. It's super tender, it's super flavorful, so it breaks all the common rules, but they're still getting a great result. So In my sense, you know, I think whatever your flavor is, if you like more smoke, if you like more char, just getting that tender consistency is what most folks are going for. And there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, and there's a lot of ways to cook a butt.
Matt, thank you so much for coming and talking with us today. This is such great information, and it's a perfect book for the summer when everyone is having what I now know is not called a barbecue, but maybe thinking about the real barbecues down south.
Well, thanks so much for having me. My pleasure.
Check out the book, The South's Best Butts, Pitmaster Secrets for Southern Barbecue Perfection, and tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.